We have today yet another briefing book, America's briefing book for President-elect Barack Obama. We're going to take a look at the world's population. Today, there are some 6 billion people who are inhabiting planet Earth. By 2050, that number is expected to jump to 9 billion. And that's a conservative estimate, say some. Here to write another chapter for our briefing book is researcher Joel Cohen, a professor of populations at Rockefeller and Columbia Universities. He sits on the Board of Trustees for the Population Research Bureau, and he's in our studios. And welcome. You walked here to our studios, didn't you?
From the subway.
Well, for you, overpopulation is a dirty word.
Well, it's a cover for a lot of complex problems that include population, economics, the environment, and culture. And to put all of the problems on population alone confuses the issue and isn't really helpful.
And you mentioned many issues. Clearly, when you're talking about populations, you're talking about resources, you're talking about competition for resources.
Right.
You're talking to President-elect Barack Obama. And where do you tell him to start when he's thinking about these issues?
I think he should start with the well-being and needs of individuals, women, men, and children in families around the world. He should start by trying to enable every woman to be in command of her own fertility. That means reproductive health services and contraception. It means trying to assure that every child that's born is born to parents who want that child at that time and have the means and ability to take care of that child.
How much of the population do you think is represented by births that aren't a result of women in control of their fertility or parents who don't want the children that come into the world?
According to surveys in the United States, more than half of conceptions are either mistimed or not wanted at any time.
Whoa.
Something like 57%.
That sounds enormous.
In fact, it is enormous. And remember that one-third of births in the United States are out of wedlock. In other countries, the fraction out of wedlock is much higher, but it's much more culturally accepted than it is here. Worldwide, the fraction of births that are either mistimed or not wanted at any time is substantial, and it could be somewhere between a third and a half.
And you've argued that education is critical, both here in the United States and all over the world, for a number of reasons, not only for women being in control of their fertility, but for other reasons, like postponing thinking about having babies, period.
Well, I think education is the great enabling force. What the Colt 45 was to the Wild West, education is now. It's the great equalizer, and it not only enables women to be more effective in caring for themselves, it improves the survival of their offspring, very dramatic improvements in child survival. It delays the onset of childbearing, typically delays the onset of marriage in most cultures, and it gives you people who are capable of solving the problems that we can't even foresee that will be coming along later on in this century.
Although in a world where 2 billion people don't have access to clean water and
yes.
Maybe a billion are surviving on an income of $1 a day or less, there are some scaling issues here, particularly involving policy like education, that are real, real challenges. I'm wondering if we can calculate what the planet will bear. If 6 billion is at the level that we're at right now, can we go to 12 billion? Can we go to 15 billion without some radical rethinking of lifestyles and inequalities?
That's a very difficult question. We're at 6.7 billion right now. We are growing enough food to feed 10 billion people, but we feed 40% of all the cereal grains that we grow to domestic animals, chicken, cattle, pigs. And so even though we're growing 10 billion people's worth of food, we have 800 million to a billion people who are chronically hungry every day. So I don't know the answer to your question about how many people can the Earth support, because the answer depends on a whole bunch of other questions. At what average level of income do we want people to live, and what distribution of income? Are we going to be happy with a lot of hungry people and a few people living high off the hog, so to speak? Are we going to be happy with an environment that has parking lots or parks? Do we want jaguars with four wheels or four legs? What kind of a world do we want? And those value choices depend not on my choices, but my children's and your children's and their children's choices. So it's not really clear whether the world can or cannot support 12 billion, but I can tell you we're doing a pretty crummy job taking care of the 6.7 billion we've got right now, and we ought to be focusing more of our attention on the problems we're facing today.
And based on your research, if you were to give Barack Obama two pieces of advice, one on how he would address those issues in the United States, and two, how he would address them internationally?
Another good question. My first choice would be to emphasize education as a liberating force. We've adopted the goal of universal primary education, and we're most of the way there except in sub-Saharan Africa, where it's about 85% access. I think the world should adopt and can afford universal secondary education so that all boys and girls get 10 to 12 years of really high-quality education. That includes education about their own bodies, their own societies, mm-hmm. their own cultures and language, so they can place themselves in the larger context of human culture.
And what about here in the U.S. specifically?
I think we're doing an inadequate job of educating our own people. The rank of the United States in competitive examinations that are internationally comparable is low. We are down there with a number of the less developed rich countries. And it's an embarrassment. And especially when you look at our coming competition from China, Korea,
and
Japan, and India, they're taking seriously the science and technology education of their students.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the same high expectations, and we don't get the same high results.
Okay, there's a message for you, President-elect Barack Obama. Make education a priority, not only for your domestic policies, but also your international ones. Joel E. Cohen, Professor of Populations at Rockefeller and Columbia Universities, thanks for joining us.
It's been my pleasure.
So we're always on here on this radio program, and we're talking about concerts.
And my very first concert was to see the Young Rascals, but the warm-up band was the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And to be perfectly honest, I, at that age, never experienced anything like that.
Whoa, you saw Hendrix live? That's totally awesome. Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Here's your takeaway this morning.
Anybody who has a relationship with Governor Blagojevich right now is radioactive. You don't want that.
That's Amanda Vinicky, State House reporter for Illinois Public Radio, talking about the scandal in Illinois. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.